Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Universal Electronics third quarter 2017 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during today's conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Becky Herrick of LHA. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Takia, and thank you all for joining us for the Universal Electronics third quarter 2017 financial results conference call. By now, you should have received a copy of the press release. If you have not, please contact LHA at 415-433-3777. This call is being broadcast live over the internet. A webcast replay will be available for 1 year at uei.com. In addition, any additional updated material, non-public information that might be discussed during this call will be provided on the company's website, where it will be retained for at least 1 year. You may also access that information by listening to the webcast replay. After reading a short safe harbor statement, I'll turn the call over to management. During the course of this conference call, management may make projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events and the future financial performance of the company, including the company's ability to anticipate the needs and wants of its customers and timely develop and deliver products and technologies that will meet those needs and wants, including the company's advanced control products, which include QuickSet, adaptive control, voice control, home security and control, temperature controllers and automation, and other technologies identified in this call. The ability of the company to achieve its sales growth as anticipated by management, the significant percentage of the company's revenues attributable to a limited number of customers, and particularly the sales growth and benefits of the company's relationship with Comcast, the timing of new product rollout orders from the company's customers as anticipated by management, the continued trend of the industry in providing consumers with more advanced technologies, management's ability to manage its business to achieve its revenue, margin, and earnings as guided, the company's ability to continue to gain market share in certain geographic regions, the continued ability to identify and execute on opportunities that maximize stockholder value, management's ability to successfully and profitably transition the company's China manufacturing operations, and other factors described in the company's filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The actual results the company achieves may differ materially from any forward-looking statements due to such risks and uncertainties. Management wishes to caution you that these statements are just projections, and actual results or events may differ materially from those projections. The company undertakes no obligation to revise or update these statements to reflect events or circumstances that may arise after today's date. For further detail on risk, management refers you to the press release mentioned at the onset of this call and the documents the company files from time to time with the SEC, including the annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2016, and the periodic reports filed thereafter. These documents, along with the risks identified on this call, contain and identify various factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in management's projections or forward-looking statements. In management's financial remarks, adjusted non-GAAP metrics will be referenced. Management provides adjusted non-GAAP metrics because it uses them in making financial, operating, and planning decisions and in evaluating the company's performance. Management believes these measures will assist investors in assessing the company's performance for the periods being reported. A full description of and reconciliation of these adjusted non-GAAP measures versus GAAP is included in the company's press release issued today. In addition, management has elected to also exclude the foreign exchange gain or loss that is recorded below the operating income line in its adjusted non-GAAP metrics. This line item reflects the net P&L effect of its hedged balance sheet exposures, which, while they have fluctuated quarter to quarter over the last several years, have netted to an immaterial amount over the long run. As a result, management has elected to review its financials, excluding the foreign currency effect recorded below the operating income line. On the call today, our Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Paul Arling, who will deliver an overview, and Chief Financial Officer, Bryan Hackworth, who will summarize the financials. Paul will then return to provide closing remarks. It's now my pleasure to introduce Paul Arling. Please go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. Our third quarter net sales were $175.5 million, up 3% from the year-ago period. EPS was $0.81 this quarter versus $0.93 in the year-ago quarter. Our sales in Q3 came in lighter than we expected due to softness in the U.S. subscription broadcasting market. With the rollout of advanced control products to some of our customers during Q4 and to many of our customers into 2018. We expect this effect to be temporal as we are finalizing advanced projects with a number of key customers, and we are beginning to see the shipments of those products ramp now. This is evident in our fourth quarter sales forecast, which reflects a 7 to 12% year-over-year growth rate. Our customers continue to adopt new platforms that include the latest in radio frequency and voice technologies, as well as a host of UEI-inspired features such as QuickSet, UAPI, OneTouch View, and Adaptive Control. In Q3 of this year, we began shipping a new voice remote control that works with new and current Dish Network set-top boxes already deployed in millions of U.S. households. This remote features the latest in advanced voice recognition technology for the ultimate in content search and navigation. The remote is also fully featured for today's connected digital subscriber, with customizable buttons that enable users to create their own personalized experience to launch over-the-top services such as Netflix or YouTube, as well as backlit buttons for ease of operation in the middle of a dark-lit room, and even a remote locator function that is amongst the most highly demanded features by consumers. Similar to the U.S. market, European broadcasters continue to make solid investments in advanced TV services. Liberty Global announced growth in its premium video subscribers, driven primarily by growth in its Virgin Media TiVo and Horizon service, for which UEI is currently shipping advanced remote controls. Reflecting the global demand and popularity for voice remote controls, during the third quarter, we also introduced the first voice remote controls supporting Hebrew for a leading Israeli pay TV operator. During the quarter, we also launched new control products to major over-the-top and IP service partners in countries such as Korea with SKB and Japan with SoftBank, where penetration of these IP-delivered services is prevalent. We expect this trend to continue into Q4 this year as we ride the over-the-top momentum with rollouts of Android TV service controllers for key customers in India and Israel. As I have mentioned previously, the timing and duration of the various planning, development, and testing periods, as well as the initial rollout and then the more aggressive rollout, are all subject to change as our customers focus on optimizing their platforms. This process can often involve multiple development and testing stages, both before and after initial rollouts. Depending on how extensive the changes are, this process can take weeks or months. In our OEM channel, we are currently in the midst of a very exciting new product development collaboration with a leading TV manufacturer that should begin shipping in 2018. At this time, we cannot disclose too much around the details of this product development, but suffice to say that we are continuing our legacy of bringing first-to-market innovations that redefine entertainment control in the home. We will bring you more on this later in the year and into 2018. During the third quarter, our home security products performed well, particularly our Xfinity Home line of products. Comcast is seeing strong traction at its Xfinity Home Security service, which launched in 2012. According to Comcast, subscriber count has doubled to more than 1 million in the last 2 years, and Comcast sees this $9 billion market as key to its future growth. We are excited to be part of this opportunity. During Q3, the Ecolink engineering team has been actively working on a line of new sensing and monitoring products for a major consumer IoT brand. At this time, we cannot disclose the name of the brand, but we will provide more details when the products begin shipping later this year. We continue to see strong demand for new smart home control products. More than previous years, this year we have produced 11 new products that focus on advanced control for non-entertainment-centric applications, including Daikin in aircon and temperature control, NEC in lighting control, and Toto in personal hygiene. We continue to make good strides in this channel and have many more products planned in 2018. Once again, we are excited to exhibit at the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, January 9th through 12th. As you might expect, we are actively working to showcase new and existing products and services that reflect our strategy to bring together key elements of our broad product and technology portfolio to create a truly smart living experience. As presented previously, product transitions out of our southern China factory and into our northern and western factories continued to provide challenges. While we have definitely felt the short-term impact of these transitions, when asked, knowing what you know, would you still change factories? The answer is a resounding yes. And when asked, would you still introduce the great number of industry-leading new products? Again, the answer is absolutely. Has the effect of these factory transitions, combined with the addition of a record number of advanced new home control projects, particularly in the fourth quarter, driven higher than expected costs at our factories in the near term? For sure they have. Despite this, we firmly believe that these will drive both top and bottom line returns in the long run. With that, I will turn the call over to our CFO, Brian Hackworth, for a review of the financials.
Thank you, Paul. As a reminder, our results for the third quarter of 2017, as well as the same period in 2016, will reference adjusted non-GAAP metrics. Third quarter net sales were $175.5 million, compared to $170.3 million for the third quarter of 2016. Business category net sales were $162.9 million, compared to $158.3 million in the third quarter of 2016, representing growth of approximately 3%. Overall, sales were less than we expected. Sales in home security were nearly five times that of the prior year quarter. However, they still fell short of our expectations, due to a new customer pushing their initial order out to Q4. Consumer category revenue was $12.6 million compared to $12 million in the prior year quarter. Gross profit was $46.2 million or 26.3% compared to 26.1%. Operating expenses were $30.7 million compared to $28.9 million in the third quarter of 2016. R&D expense was $5.3 million compared to $4.8 million in the third quarter of 2016. SG&A was $25.5 million compared to $24.1 million. Operating income was $15.4 million compared to $15.6 million. The effective tax rate was 21.3% compared to 10.8%. As explained on the previous call, in Q3 2016, we received $1.8 million of tax refunds from the Chinese government for various tax incentives that related to fiscal 2015. Net income was $11.9 million or 81 cents per diluted share compared to $13.8 million or 93 cents per diluted share in the prior year period. For the 9 months of 2017, net sales were $515.8 million compared to $494 million the same period last year. Gross margins were 26.3% compared to 26%. Operating expenses were $92.6 million compared to $88.7 million in the first 9 months of last year. Operating income was $43 million compared to $39.6 million. Net income was $32.4 million or $2.21 per diluted share compared to $31.5 million or $2.14 per diluted share in last year's nine-month period. Next, I'll review our cash flow and balance sheet at September 30, 2017. We ended the quarter with cash and cash equivalents of $48.6 million compared to $50.6 million at December 31, 2016. We have approximately 300,000 shares remaining in our share buyback program. Depending upon market conditions, we may buy back our shares over the next few months. DSOs were approximately 79 days at September 30, 2017, compared to 72 days a year prior. Net inventory turns were approximately 3.6 turns at September 30, 2017, compared to 4.2 turns a year prior. Now, turning to our guidance for the fourth quarter of 2017. The influx of new, more complex devices continues to provide us with significant long-term opportunities. In the short term, however, the surge in these new complex products, coupled with completing the transition of activities from our southern China factory to our other factories in China, is creating manufacturing inefficiencies. We expect this will create near-term margin pressure, which is reflected in our fourth quarter 2017 guidance. While a temporary setback, we continue to believe relocating will deliver larger, far-reaching long-term benefits. As we move into 2018, we expect the transition impact to diminish and ultimately be eliminated, resulting in a stronger bottom line. We expect net sales to range between $172 and $180 million, compared to $160.1 million in the fourth quarter of 2016, representing growth between 7 and 12%. This growth in sales is driven primarily by the transition to higher-end platforms, as certain customers who have previously delayed their launches have now begun to ship. In addition, in the fourth quarter, we will begin shipping our home security sensors to a newly acquired customer. EPS for the fourth quarter is expected to range from 55 cents to 65 cents, compared to 74 cents in the fourth quarter of 2016. We remain confident our long-term financial outlook will reflect average annual sales growth of 5 to 10% and average earnings per share growth of 10 to 20%. I would now like to turn the call back to Paul.
Thanks, Brian. The growing adoption rates for our advanced control products and technologies provides us with an expanding customer base, supporting our long-term path to continued growth. To ensure we are building the business ahead of this growth, we continue to make operational and structural changes, such as the relocation of our southern Chinese factory, the modernization of the facilities and processes at our other two factories in China, and the much larger than average movement of projects between them. In addition, the exciting transformation of our industry from simple one-way control products to advanced two-way products with new communication protocols begins an era where consumers will no longer struggle to set up their new systems, nor will they have any challenge in finding exactly what program they want to watch right now. These products are quite simply better, yet much more complex to design and build than they were before, and require a much greater amount of work by both us and our customers to ensure that they will work first the first time and every time. These new products and processes can at times take longer than expected, and the initial work may cost more than anticipated. While there may be short-term impacts to margins, the long-term positive impact of these changes is clear. This will be proved out in the months and years ahead. We are more excited than ever about the future prospects for our company as the home entertainment and home control markets continue to evolve. Stay tuned. Operator, we'd now like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. We ask that you please place your line on mute once your question has been stated in order to prevent any background noise. Our first question comes from the line of Andrew DeSilva with B. Riley FBR. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and just a couple quick questions here. When we're looking at gross margins, is it still appropriate for us to expect you to, by the middle of next year, hit the 27-28% range, or is that now a little bit too aggressive when we start thinking about everything that's going on with the factory change?
Yeah, this is Brian, Andy. You know, I expect the gross margins to improve upon what we have embedded in our Q4 guidance. I don't think going to 27%, which I've mentioned previously, is out of reach. We came in at 26.3 this quarter. I mean, right now in the fourth quarter, I think it's somewhat of an anomaly where you've got, you know, we have issues with in terms of manufacturing efficiently with the transition, and there's a layering effect where, you know, we've been transitioning for about a year now, and we keep layering on these new products, so the burden becomes, you know, heavier obviously for the northern factory, and then with this is good news, you layer on top of that the fact that we're starting to ship these new advanced projects, and we've got a number of projects in the queue. It's putting a lot of pressure on the factory. So right now, I do expect the gross margin to improve in 2018 upon above what we've embedded in Q4. So I don't think 27% is unrealistic, but we're going to have to make some improvements to get there.
Okay, absolutely. And as we think bigger picture and a greater percent of total technologies are advanced remotes or EcoLink products, what is the potential range that margins could improve to? Are we seeing things in the low 30% or are we getting tapped in the high 20s?
Well, if you're talking about, I don't want to talk about by product. I will say EcoLink, the home security products yield a higher gross margin than our company average, depending on who we're shipping to. If you're shipping to a large customer, that may not be true. But overall, as we said before, if we start to ship more to smaller customers, that should help our rate on an overall basis because they're not going to get the purchasing power of a larger company.
Right, absolutely. And as far as sticking with the next generation technology theme, previously you've mentioned about a 70% reorder rate annually. Is that still carrying over now with new remotes and other Internet of Things type products that you're launching now, or is there any variance in that relative to previous what you've previously seen?
No, that ratio remains true with the higher advanced products as well.
Okay. Just last for me, with CES coming up and beginning of next year, is that typically when you guys expect a lot of announcements related to some of the operators rolling out new platforms officially? Is that a good backdrop for us to start thinking about as a catalyst, at least from an announcement standpoint, in your opinion?
Yeah, there may very well be announcements around CES, certainly around the consumer electronics market for certain, because that is the annual show for them to unveil new product. However, as you probably well know, a lot of the operators are also very active at the show and do sometimes product announcements around it. So it's a pretty good time of year for people to unveil their plans for 2018, and we'll be doing a fair bit of that as well.
Okay, but that's probably a good way for us to kind of figure out the lay of the land from perhaps a penetration rate assumption with new remotes on the total subscriber base that you're touching at this point, or
sure.
Able, you know, working with. Okay, perfect. Great, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stephen Frankel of Dougherty. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. So, Paul, a quarter ago, you seemed fairly confident that volumes were going to ramp and that you were getting your arms around these manufacturing issues. Now it looks like, it's gotten worse. Could you give us some specifics on where you're finding these challenges and what has to be done to get margins going north again?
Yeah, well, we are seeing the ramp. I mean, obviously the Q4 sales guidance is 7 to 12%. Take the midpoint of that if you'd like. I mean, that's a fairly good growth rate. With these new projects coming on, we're starting to see the effect of the work we've done for quite some time to get some of these projects launched. And we do expect going into 18 that there will be even more of them because, again, we're currently working on these projects. Some of them are scheduled to launch early next year, and we'll keep people updated on that. But one thing we know for sure, and we've said this for a while, these projects are all going to launch. It's just a matter of which week or which month. Sometimes they get delayed by weeks or months, but they all launch eventually. It's just an iteration between testing. Sometimes it goes into the initial launch, and then they discover that they want to make some changes to the UI, so they bring it back into development. They perform that development, and then it goes back into testing, and then into initial rollout. So they iterate a bit on these, which causes delay in volume shipments. But again, eventually they get to volume shipments. So
I understand that, but I want to dig in on why in a product cycle where you should be making hay, your gross margins are going down, not up. What's going on specifically in China, and how do you address it?
A couple of effects. With the eventual closing of the southern factory, which we have now done, you then have to transfer the hundreds of products that were made at that factory into a new factory. One thing about the factories is that the first runs of any product are usually the lowest margin or the highest cost runs, because when you first set up a product at the factory, they're not used to the process of making that particular product, particularly if it is a what we would call internally a complex project.
Wasn't that a phenomenon that we suffered through last quarter? I'm just wondering why it...
We are suffering through it this quarter, but again, this will diminish because the factory in the south, the last transitions are occurring this quarter. But the initial runs of those projects are typically the lowest margin runs. And we've transferred in Well, this year, in the two prior years, we have an internal measurement of projects, which we call complex. The maximum number of complex projects we've done in prior years is 10. This year, we've done 25. And on top of that, we've transitioned 10 from the Southern factory, which means the two factories have absorbed 35 complex products. On top of that, we've layered in hundreds of new products from the GTC factory, from the Southern factory. So when you layer these things together, what happens is you've got a lot of new projects at the factory. Now, to the company, those hundreds of transfers are not new, but they are to the factory they're now being run at. And again, as I said, the first runs of a product at a new factory are the highest cost runs and thus the lowest margin runs. You layer on top of that the new products, which the complex products, typically a simple product in our company will probably have two testing steps. A complex product may have seven. So that product at the new factory has to go through a process of getting perfected. The real answer to this question, Steve, is that what we need is time, because as these orders come in, once you do the first run and the second run, then you go to the third run, each successive run, the factory gains more experience in the product and can be more labor efficient, less overhead is spent in setup, and the product becomes a normal way of life at that factory. So time solves this problem as we do these complex projects at a new factory, whether it's a new product from outside or a product that's transitioned in. As the product gains experience at the factory, the cost per unit on that product goes down. And then the margins enhance as you do more of them. We don't typically see this effect, mainly because we don't normally have that many. As I said before, we typically on these complex products haven't done as many. We've done, including transfers, we've done three times as many this year. And we have a lot of them hitting in Q4 because we're beginning to ship these products and doing the initial product runs on those products. We've finally got the go-ahead from the customer to go ahead and load the tools and make the product. And again, those first runs are sometimes our most costly. Our highest cost per unit runs. So we will see the effect of that in Q4, but as time goes on and those products gain experience at the factory, the margin on each of them is helped by successive runs as we go into 2018.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. You talked about subscriber weakness, and I know Comcast and others talked about higher churn in Q3. Maybe give us your customer concentrations in Q3 for Comcast and DirecTV, and have these companies or your larger subscription broadcast customers dialed back their forecasts for Q4 and beyond because of what they saw in Q3?
Yeah, the customer concentration, Steve, Comcast was at 21%, which is consistent with where they were in Q3 of 16. And DirecTV was at 11.5%.
Okay, and then Paul, what's your sense on how these companies are reacting to Q3? Are they pulling back on their build plans, which might impact your growth rate in 18?
Well, they haven't shared with us. I mean, obviously, their complete forecast for 2018 yet. But I would say that that customers over time will go through periods where they'll order less, and then they'll make changes to their offering, and then they'll order more. So this has been true for at least the last 20 years. I think that, you know, we're going to see customers that will have a less aggressive order pattern, but we have new customers that have extremely aggressive order plans, and typically these offset. Right, we do have customers that probably, I won't mention any specifics about future forecasts of any particular customer, but we do have customers that in Q4 will probably buy less than they did in a prior year, but yet we have offsets to that where we have some of our customers who are more aggressively ordering. And then we have new customers layered on top of that. And then we have other customers who are probably buying about the same number of units, but they're transitioning to a advanced product which carries a higher ASP, which will lead to sales growth with that account, so their unit volumes have not changed. So even if their subscriber growth is nil, they're still ordering, the revenue effect to us is still better because, again, they're upgrading their offering to these advanced two-way products with voice or RF, some form of RF, RF4CE, or Bluetooth with other features, and the ASP goes up.
And given where you are competitively and given the challenges of producing these products, now obviously with your largest customer, you don't have a lot of pricing flexibility. Do you think you've priced products appropriately for the rest of the customer base?
Well, look, I think there's probably always opportunity to improve that, but I would say that, yes, competitively we have. In cases where the product is greatly differentiated, there's probably an opportunity as time goes on to improve on that front for certain. As these properties that we have, QuickSet, Control Plus, and others become more popular features and they're unique to us, I think there's an opportunity there, certainly with all customers, but particularly medium to small size customers for certain, because their volumes are lower, and if they want that special product, then they'll probably have to pay a small premium over what they would pay a competitor. So that's our strategy, has been for a long time, and I think we're successfully implementing that. We just need to now get, as we are starting to see in Q4, a bit of a sales growth, again 7 to 12%. As we go into next year, I think as more of these platforms get out, as the operation of these new services get more commonplace across the world, it becomes a competitive imperative for the others to adopt it. And I think that benefits us greatly as time goes on.
All right, one last one, if I might. You've occasionally updated us on, in essence, your penetration. What percentage of the subscription broadcast market is your customer base addressing? Did you make any material headway in Q3 in terms of new customer additions?
Yeah, Steve, I didn't update it. I mean, we're obviously still over the 25% that we were last quarter. I think right now we're more focused on getting the transitions done, getting these new advanced products launched, and that alone in the coming quarters over the next year will provide us the incentive for growth that we need.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Greg Burns with Sidoti & Company. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. In terms of the some of the new products you mentioned, one with a OEM, a TV manufacturer, some of the other OTT providers in Asia. The controls for those types of solutions, how do they measure in terms of ASPs relative to what you ship into the cable broadcast market?
Well, yeah, it depends on the customer. Again, typically it's on unit volume. So if a customer is buying 30 million units a year, they're certainly going to get probably a sharper ASP than someone who's only doing a million units. So I can't disclose, obviously customer-specific prices or volumes, but generally if you look at an operator who has a lower subscriber base, typically their unit volumes will be lower, and therefore the ASPs will be higher.
Okay, but I was just trying to get, not exact numbers, but are the ASPs comparable for those types of solutions to what you ship on average into the cable provider market?
They are, yes.
Okay.
They're similar, but again, based on volume.
Okay.
So, some of the largest subscription broadcasters on Earth are here in the U.S., their pricing would be, you know, probably a little bit lower on a similar product, just simply because they're buying, you know, more than 10 million units a year.
Okay. And it looks like Comcast was down sequentially. Was there anything in particular? Was it just them pulling back on orders? Was it more in the home security? What was driving that?
No, they were down. I mean, they were at 21%. But if you look at last year as well, actually the last couple of years, for some reason, Q3 is typically their lowest quarter. Last year they were at 21%, and the previous quarters they were, I think, in the 23-24% range. And the same thing happened this year. So I don't think it's anything unusual for them or representative of anything that's going to, you know, happen in the future.
Okay. And just in terms of the weakness you saw this quarter, in the past you talked about some product rollout delays, and then also sometimes you saw a customer with some inventory issues that they were working through. Was there anything specific, or did you see similar type problems this quarter? Was it an inventory issue? Was it a project rollout issue? Or was it just generally lower order flow from customers?
Well, it's a little of both. I mean, I suppose some of these customers, as they were moving into launch of a product, before they launched the product, they would have truncated orders. And then sometimes what happens is they'll launch the new one during the quarter, and the initial orders on it will be strong. So it begins to offset any weakness they had earlier in the quarter. And then the next quarter, they may order greater than average volumes. So it certainly, as we go through this with literally dozens of customers, there will be cases where they'll truncate before, and then as soon as they go to the new product, they'll accelerate.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We did see some of that, nothing major in the quarter, but some of the major customers did draw back a little bit. But it's no sign of long-term weakness. Cable operators, satellite providers will sometimes draw back purchases. Over the long term, they buy to deployment, so they usually have quarters will order less and other quarters where they'll order more.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stephen Frankel with Dougherty. Your line is now open.
Hi. Brian, what tax rate is implied in your Q4 guidance? I know in the past the Q4 tax rate has tended to be different than the other quarters.
Yeah, I embedded it. I would use a typical rate for us would be in the low 20s.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one. And I'm showing no further questions in queue at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Paul Arling for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you for joining us today and for your continued support of Universal Electronics. We'll be at, as we mentioned before, at the International Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas on January 9th through 12th. And we'll also be presenting at the 20th Annual Needham Growth Conference held January 17th to 18th in New York. We look forward to seeing you at one or both of these events. Thank you for joining us today, and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.